This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson again today. I trust the program blesses you and encourages you and perhaps even challenges you. Again, if you'd like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and the program can be re-listened to there. You can also download the program and pass it on to others by email using an attachment. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we do appreciate any comments that you leave us, and we would take your prayer requests seriously and would pray for you if you would bring us up to date on your needs. Now, today will be the last program for the year 2023. And frankly, when I think about the year 2023 and how long we've been able to serve the Lord and how long we have lived, I frankly never really thought about coming to a year that would be marked by those digits, 2023. But here we are. And we're in a new day. We're in a kind of a different time in the history of the United States and the development of the United States. We see all kinds of technological changes, and we see all kinds of changes with regard to the political scene, and we see all kinds of changes with regard to what people accept and believe. But folks, there's one constant, and I see that in my own life, and that constant is the Word of God. Years ago, I was starting a Bible study, or actually engaging a man that I knew in a Bible study. I wanted to start one with him. But at the same time, he was very educated with regard to religious things. And he taught religious iconography. He taught religious history. He taught religious architecture. He knew all about the architecture of the big chapels and in Europe, and he could tell you all about the Dead Sea Scrolls. But when I was talking to him with regard to all of these things that he taught, I asked him, I said, did you ever read the document that all of this was based on? And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, that document is the Bible. Have you read through the Bible? And he told me, no, I never have. And I said, well, you teach all these things connected with religion, but shouldn't you really know the background of what you're teaching, the parameters, the boundaries, the precepts of what you're teaching? Shouldn't you know what God says about this matter of religion? I said, wouldn't this be somewhat like a lawyer who was practicing law and had never read the Constitution? And he took that well, and we've studied the Bible together now for probably 40 years. And I would challenge you in the same way. You may be religious, you may think you know all about God, but I hope you know all that the Bible says with regard to our relationship with Him. As we come now to the end of the year 2023, we have to use that as sort of a marker. It's an arbitrary marker, but we have to use that as a marker to evaluate really where we're going in life. And just as the year comes to an end, at some point our lives are going to come to an end. And then the matters of religion are not going to be academic anymore. They're going to be reality. And we know that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. But it says after this, the judgment. So there's an after this. That at least the Bible says that. So before I go on with these gifts that we've been looking at in these last few programs, I want to ask you if you understand where you're going to be in this time that the Bible calls after this. We looked last time at the gift of eternal life. We don't have eternal life when we're first born because of the sin of our parents, Adam and Eve. We're born with a physical life, but we're not born with a spiritual life that makes us fit for the presence of God. And the only way we can have that spiritual life is when we believe what God has said and accept the gift of eternal life through believing what God says about His Son in the Bible. And so I keep thinking about this physical life is contrasted to eternal life, but we need to know that we have been prepared through the Word of God to go into this phase, this next phase, which for many of you will not be for many years. For me, it might not be that long, where we have the after this. And Peter even tells us about that. He says that we need to be born again. He says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so we, just as my friend had been teaching about a subject that he didn't really understand without understanding the basis for that subject, the basis for all the religion that he was teaching. He needed to understand that, and a lawyer needs to understand the Constitution. We begin to wonder sometimes if our present-day lawyers have even read the Constitution for themselves and have tried to understand it in the way it was written back in the over 200 years ago. But nevertheless, we need personally to take responsibility for understanding the basic principles of the Word of God. And if we are really true believers or trusters in the Lord Jesus, then we know that we have eternal life. And so this gives us a new beginning. And as we go into this new year, we'll be talking about a new beginning. But I remember particularly in November 24th, 1963, when I had a new beginning with God, when I first came to a confirmed belief in the fact that God didn't lie and Christ had already died for my sins, and if I received or believed that truth, that I would have the gift of eternal life because God had given His Son. Now, if we have really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then God gives us gifts wherewith we can serve Him. Paul says in, I believe it's back in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, "For I would that all men were even as myself." That is, he wishes they were all single so that they weren't distracted by the responsibilities of marriage. "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that." And so God saves us for a purpose. And that purpose, of course, is so that we can have fellowship with Him, so that we can glorify Him. But while we are still on this earth, we have a purpose as well. And I know sometimes we get kind of discouraged and feel like we don't have much to offer God, but He says He's given us a gift where we can serve Him. And that gift may be a gift of service. It may be a gift of giving. It may be a gift of hospitality. It may be a gift of teaching. It may be a gift of pastoring or shepherding a flock of God. But there are gifts of discernment, gifts of wisdom. These are things that God gives us, and we should ask ourselves, what has God enabled me in particular to do for Him? I don't have to do anything to be saved, but if I'm saved, certainly I would want to do something in order to show my thanksgiving to God for what He has done. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now, I firmly believe that Paul identified that gift, but that God gave that gift. It's a gift of God, not a gift of Paul, but it was the putting on of hands was a matter of identifying publicly with what we believe to be true. And there was a putting on of hands with regard to early discipleship and early apostleship. And Timothy was identified by Paul, who had wisdom, as one who had a gift. And so he identified with him, enabled him to do his work before others that might not have understood the gift that he had. In one place, he's told to not let anyone despise his youth. Well, it's obvious that there were people that would not have accepted Timothy and the gift that he had if Paul had not said, "Now this man has something that he can serve you with, and make sure that you cooperate and esteem and honor him." And so Paul was putting his own reputation, using his own reputation to give credibility to the gift that Timothy had. "So I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." So God had given Timothy a gift, and that gift can lie dormant, or we can use it. And I hope that if you have the gift of hospitality or giving or of teaching, that you ask for God's help and the help of the Holy Spirit, that you might use that gift for him. We can be sure of the gift of salvation. And I hope that every one of us listening to this is sure of it. And if you're not sure of it, start the new year by making sure of it. And all you have to do is just recognize you can't save yourself and that you need to be saved. And that's exactly what God says in the Bible, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Again, I would go back to Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." That's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. "And that not of yourselves." In other words, we don't do something to be saved. It's the gift of God. God has given us something so that we can be saved. Often when I talk to people about how they get saved, they tell me about what they have done, the way they have prayed, the way they have given their heart to the Lord, the way they have done certain things and gone forward perhaps. But what I like to hear, and they may have done all those things and come to this conclusion in doing them, but what I really like to hear is how they found out that God has already done something for them. I had to find that out. I was waiting for God to save me, and then I found out on November 24th, 1963, that the Bible said God had already sent his son to the cross to die for me and to save me, and I'm resting on that even today. And so, dear friend, God gives us the gift of salvation, and we often sing, "All to him I owe," and I don't know that we owe him anything in a contractual way. A gift is given freely, but I understand the sentiment now that we're saved. There's something we would like to do to give thanks. People give a gift on Christmas, and then they think, "Well, now I'll have to." They receive a gift on Christmas, and they think, "Now I'll have to reciprocate and give that person a gift either next Christmas or perhaps during the year. I have to reciprocate." God doesn't say that we have to reciprocate. We don't have to pay for the gift he has given, but we can give him thanks out of a devotional heart. And so the gift we have been given has been given freely. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I hope that you know, and that you know that you know that you have received that gift of salvation. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. Bless those who are listening as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.